much about.
These two young men have attracted a tremendous following among the youth of America with their lyrical interpretation of the world we live in. We think you will find the next hour both entertaining and stimulating.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey there, so I'm just wondering, I know it's called Kevin and Bean Show, but is there any way that we don't have to listen to Bean that much? Because if he could just be quiet and not talk over people, at people, about people, in front of people, if he could just be, like, quiet and shut the F up, I would really probably listen more. Just saying. Bye.
Show some damn respect.
And now.
What's up, Everett? What's up, Everett? I'm going to go and walk around and among these... Hey, everybody, Beer Mug here at the... Hey, everybody, Beer Mug here.
Our feature presentation.
It's hard to imagine that people are that bad at it, but I got to tell you, it's much more difficult than it sounds.
Oh, I know.
In Mug's defense.
Yes.
But he's particularly bad at it.
Though. Well, I mean, he does...
It is difficult, but he's terrible, right?
He does stop earlier than most, sure. I mean, within the first second and a half. But you know, you're starting to get ahead of yourself in your mind and thinking where you're going, and then you realize, I'll never get there from here.
Right.
So you just stop and start over.
And what's funny is that Beer Mug at some point has probably thought, well, I'm doing this on tape, though, so they'll never hear this part.
Yeah,
and,
of course,
that's the only part we play from his interviews. There's lots of parts on the interview where he sounds great, and he's asking relevant questions, and he's doing an excellent job. None of that ever makes the air.
Who cares, right?
who cares, right? We don't need we don't need somebody competent on this show to make us look worse, Beer Mug. That's not what we're about.
Got it.
We need guys like you to make our low, low level of competence look good.
No problem.
All right.
Handled.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on?
Not too much.
I missed you yesterday.
Oh. Just in general?
Yeah.
Is there someplace I was supposed to be?
No, I just missed you just in general. Sometimes I'll look at the clock. It'll be like 3 in the afternoon. I'll be like, I get to see Lisa for like 16 hours. This sucks.
Isn't that sweet?
Just wanted you to know.
It's nice to be missed.
I had a great story ready to go until about 30 seconds ago. I had an awesome story out of Australia on my internet browser about a woman who is suing the doctor that delivered her 26 years ago for not giving her mother a cesarean and instead giving delivering the baby with forceps, causing what she says is lifelong shoulder pain.
What?
She's suing a doctor for her own birth. And I had many more details about that story, and I was interested in telling you that story. But during the intro, as I was looking it over, I saw another story on the sidebar of the same webpage with this headline. New Zealand woman's hand cut off during sex.
Wow. Yeah, we got to go with B.
I think we got to go with B. I mean, look, I love that you're suing over your own birth. I had never seen that story before, but I needed to find out more about this, so I just clicked on this. So.
Here's the key word in that is off. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Not just hand cut.
Yes.
Off is the part where you go, whoa.
What's she having sex with?
I mean, look.
A chainsaw?
Yeah.
You've had a lot of sex in your life, but how often have you lost a body part? I mean, that's rare. That's a phone-in topic I don't think we'd get many calls on.
I've got to be honest. I've never come close to losing a body part.
Nope.
Right, exactly. So here's the story. A New Zealand woman nearly died after her hand was accidentally severed during holiday sex. She was on a yacht in Croatia.
Okay.
28-year-old New Zealand woman having sex with a British man. Here's the answer to your question, Lisa. On a bathroom sink aboard the yacht when the sink broke, severing her hand when she fell, according to the Croatian Times.
Oh, my God.
She's fat.
I wish there were a photo.
I am sure the sink was not designed for two people to be having sex on it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any evidence that she's fat, but
she's
She's less fat now because she's missing a hand.
She's lost
5 pounds.
How would that happen? Where you would fall because the sink collapsed? What would happen that would sever your hand? I mean, that's a pretty serious slice there. I mean, did her hand somehow get even if the hand got under the sink? I could see it being crushed. I can't see it being severed.
No, I don't know. Unless, I don't know. I was thinking, is there a mirror involved or something? And then a shard came down? But that wouldn't go through the bone.
No.
No, but it could get a jagged edge that she, you know, then.
And the weight, maybe he's.
The weight is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yes.
She sounds fat.
She sounds fat.
Police spokesperson says it appears they were engaged in a passionate act in the bathroom when at some stage the sink broke. Oh, here we go. Leaving a jagged edge. Oh. Thank you, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
That severed the woman's hand when she fell to the floor. The young woman almost died and was almost saved when she was airlifted to the hospital where doctors managed to reattach the severed limb. It had only been attached by a small amount of skin.
Oh, my God.
Wait, you said
God.
She almost died and she was almost saved.
Yeah, I think that was either a misprint those or a misread.
Those can't be.
No, was only saved.
Oh, only saved.
Only saved.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Police from the island of Hvar said the woman's hand was reattached during a six-hour operation in Split. Split is the name of the town where the operation was held.
Very
police are now trying to track down the British man to get his version of the story. Yeah, he got out of there as quickly as possible. He didn't want any part of that
deal. Good luck with that hand. See you later.
Do you think they just met on that boat?
Probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised at
all. Oh, my God.
But if he gets away with it and gets back to Britain and they never track him down, he has a story about the worst sexual experience ever
kidding.
To tell for the rest of his life.
Now, here's the real question, and this is what is important in this story. Did she finish? That's the question.
I think it seems highly unlikely if she was still on the sink. Seems like once you finish, you get up from the sink.
How close were
fairly,
they? You know what I mean?
Easy.
Like,
yeah, it doesn't say.
Maybe they were 10 seconds away.
If it's a typical relationship, I'm going to tell you right now. He did and she didn't.
Well, this is true normally.
No sink, no boat, no Croatia involved. That's just how it usually goes.
She's like, oh, listen, no, but my hand.
Wait.
A couple of seconds, I promise.
Wow, that's maybe the worst
exactly.
sex
you just ever. Wanted to know if he finished before or after.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So,
right. I
you
have
know,
a lot of friends who've been to Croatia recently.
What? I know, me too.
Yeah,
what?
It's like
an international hotspot. It's the hottest place in Europe right now for people to go
What's
on vacation.
What's happening right now? I don't know anyone that's ever been to Croatia.
Well, they're going now, let All me right. tell you.
Your friend, TV weatherman Mark Thompson, is in Croatia right now, Kevin, as just to name one example. But yeah,
tell
apparently.
Tell him about to have sex in Croatia.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
It apparently has been rebuilt a great deal since their wars, and apparently it's just beautiful and cheap. I guess that's why people are going. It's just really, really, one of the cheapest places to go in Europe because it hasn't been a tourist mecca as long as other places have. But apparently it's beautiful. I've seen photos from it. It looks beautiful.
It does. I'm except not for, having sex there.
Except for that whole no hand thing.
not on a sink in a boat. So good times.
That's a song, isn't it?
It sure is. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I assume there's a nugget of a point buried in there.
Hopefully, yeah. We're going to talk to Tom DeLonge today. Got a new Angels and Airwaves project, including a movie. I'm not quite sure I fully understand it, but it involves you going to a movie theater, and then there's some music, and then there's a movie, and then there's some questions. I don't know. I'm not positive.
Okay.
Well, I think there's a live concert performance like you see at some of those theater events. But I think there's also, it sounds to me, like a movie with actors. Like a story.
Correct.
Like going into outer space or something.
Well,
which is what you'd expect
DeLonge.
From Tom DeLonge.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's Wednesday, so we've got Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage. We have Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds.
Ah, wow. Love Times 2.
On the program today. Change Up is the name of the movie.
Thank God they're making a movie with this plot, too, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's been a while.
But if anyone can make it good, it's those two.
Did you see that promo that was going around? The promo of those two talking about this?
Uh-uh.
That's the first thing they said is, it's a good thing we're doing this plot because it's never been done before. So they're acknowledging the fact that perhaps this storyline has been done.
Yeah.
Right.
But you can always do it better as long as it's in the right hands. I don't know if you saw the Justin Bieber video yesterday in the Internet Roundup about him going coning, basically playing pranks on people.
Yes.
And so we got to talk about that. Justin Bieber. I mean, come on. You're a billionaire or whatever.
Just go sing and shut up.
You're going to make people's lives miserable. That's what us a-holes do. You know? We also have Tito Ortiz, who's going to be talking about UFC 133, Rashad Evans. So that should be fantastic. I'm excited about that. That's coming up. And if you missed Jane's Addiction yesterday, man, those guys are so good. so good.
Yeah.
We've got some highlights for you coming up just after the top of the hour, along with the brand new song from Jane's Addiction that we world premiered yesterday, and some highlights of Repo Games. All coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
I would find a way.
Did Trent Reznor grow old faster than anyone you've ever met?
Yes. That's, yes. That's Trent. Very sad.
That's Johnny Cash.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 552.
Thanks for tuning in on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. A lot of great guests on the program today, plus a pair of tickets to the Samsung AT&T Summer Crush Evening with Coldplay benefiting the Grammy Foundation. I just wanted to see if I could say it. That's coming up, your chance to see Coldplay. And that show is going to be tonight. So keep listening for a chance to win. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
Hey! Speaking of tickets, I've got tickets to give away, too. I've got a pair of passes to give away to some lucky listeners. What?
Huh?
Lucky listeners for the red carpet world premiere of 30 Minutes or Less. It happens Monday, August the 8th. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, August the 12th. But if you're one of the lucky first two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, first two callers will win a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere. And you'll get to hang out with people like Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman. Oh, why can't we have guys like that on our show? Why can't we have talent like that on our show? This show sucks. We can't get any of the A-list performers who star in these movies to come on and talk about their films.
We have Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman today.
What?
Sweet.
Good one.
Good delivery. Thank you so much. Jennifer Lopez.
Those stars aren't in this movie, but stars like them will be at the red carpet, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. 30 Minutes or Less stars Jesse Eisenberg and Aziz Ansari and Danny McBride and a very, very talented crew of funny, funny people. So if you'd like to know what's going on with the relationship between Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony, she's going to tell you. She gave a candid interview to Vanity Fair magazine and is pretty much talking openly about their split.
Wow.
Saying that, in essence, he wasn't treating her right. And she said she finally got the courage to love herself enough to walk away.
Wow.
Good for her.
What was she requiring that he wasn't giving her? I mean, did she have outrageous demands or was it just basic civility?
Respect and, you know, that kind of thing. And
being treated nicely.
Yeah, apparently he was quite controlling and jealous and domineering and was kind of rough on her. And friends say, in a separate article, that despite all her fame and success and beauty and talent and charm, Jennifer suffers from less than healthy self-esteem and is susceptible to men like that who prey on it. And she finally had enough and was able to walk away. So if that is the case, then good for you, Jennifer Lopez.
Wouldn't you be so nice to her if you got Jennifer Lopez? I think I'd figure out a way to never make that end.
I think I'd be nice to any woman I was married to. I'd like to think.
Yeah.
If I liked her enough to marry her, I probably would be nice to her. Mm-hmm. That's just how I roll. The boys from U2 are celebrating the end of their tour in New York City this week, and apparently onlookers were shocked to see Bono and The Edge and the rest of the band stumbling out of a neighborhood bar in the West Village in New York City at 8:30 Sunday morning. 8:30 a.m. They pour out of a bar with a load on. 8:30 to the a.m.
It must feel nice, you know, when you're on a touring schedule like that, then to think, I don't have tomorrow, the next day, I have nothing. I can just recover.
I'm just going to drink myself silly. Those boys can raise a glass or two.
Put it away.
God bless them. Bottom of the Edge apparently were heard coming out of the bar debating on how many astronauts had seen their tour. So apparently they were trying to narrow down that number. It's all anyone's talking about, that really.
Should have been listening to our show yesterday.
Yeah, they should have been. They would have learned all those details.
That would have been great.
By the way, when we did our Breakfast with U2 broadcast a number of years ago, I remember the Guinness was flowing pretty much at 8 a.m. on that day as well.
The Black Velvets.
And Bean took a drink.
I did.
No.
That was my last drink. If Bono tells you to take a drink.
I'll do it because Bono tells me.
You take a drink.
He's my God and Savior.
Well, I didn't want to be rude to our guest.
Well, you should have thought I'd forgotten this business. Because I'll play you back the past 20 years and you'll see you failed miserably. Had. Danny DeVito is personally planning his buddy Arnold Schwarzenegger's career comeback.
Okay.
Danny DeVito says that his buddy is seriously in the doghouse, both career-wise and personally, and he believes the best way to get out of it is to film a sequel to Twins.
Nope.
Their 1988 smash hit comedy. Maybe Danny needs to sit down, maybe he needs the Netflix Twins, sit down and watch Twins again and realize that perhaps it does not age so well.
And rethink it.
Yes. Nope. And then say, well, maybe we'll do something else.
Nope.
Would that be in the top 20 Arnold Schwarzenegger movies you'd like to see a sequel to?
No. It was inexplicably a huge hit. It really was. But it is horrible, horrible.
Even if he had only done 19 movies, it would not be in the top 20.
No, it would not. Daniel Craig is a party animal from the set of Cowboys and Aliens come tales of what Daniel would call team building exercises.
Uh-oh.
Which basically just turned out to be margaritas and blasting music and all kinds of shenanigans.
So party.
Yeah,
basically.
he would throw tons of tons of parties while they were on set in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And apparently Harrison Ford, Sam Rockwell, and Olivia Wilde would all attend. And apparently everybody would get quite lubricated.
Not Harrison Ford. You could just see him going.
When he gets drunk, can you imagine? He's dancing on the table. I'd like to see Olivia Wilde with a couple of margaritas in her, though.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I bet none of them drank and drove. What? Samantha Ronson is guilty of that. She was popped Monday morning on DUI charges, pulled over doing 89 miles per hour in her Porsche.
89 is nothing. She shouldn't even be pulled over for going on the freeway or on a street.
89, Kevin, is substantially above the legal speed limit.
It's a little more than you're supposed to go.
Should you be going 89 when you've got a load on?
No, you should never. You should be going zero when you have a load on.
Uh-huh. But let's say you're a little buzzed and you want not to attract so much attention from law enforcement. Do you think you should be traveling at that speed?
Perhaps slow down to 74.
Oh, I see.
64, whatever it is.
Did you catch that Ralph said Monday morning? I think she was pulled over at what, like 10:30 a.m. or something, Ralph?
Yeah. Well, it had been a long night. She was traveling from Vegas back to Los Angeles, and she decided to drive herself. And the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department pulled her over for speeding, and then they realized that she was loaded on top of it. And by the way, if you get a chance, find yourself that mugshot online.
I got to see that.
It's wildly entertaining. She is. You can see why Lindsay was so smitten when you see the beauty that this woman.
She is hot.
Woman obtains, even at that stage in her life, really. The low of the low, she still is a radiant, radiant, gorgeous creature.
You know, it's funny, most people think it's this far to my home from this bar, so although I'm buzzed, I can probably make it without... She went from Vegas!
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
She took a five-hour trip. Oh, look at that. Isn't she gorgeous? Oh.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I'm no lesbian, but if I was... That would not be my first choice.
No, it wouldn't be your last choice
either. No, that looks like the girl in the woman's prison that runs the block.
Yes.
That would do bad things to you with a plunger in the showers if you didn't toe the line.
You would be her
bitch. Yes, you would be afraid of that woman.
Boy, those are some serious circles under bags under her eyes for 33 years old, too, by the way.
Yeah, she leads such a clean life. She seems like such a healthy, healthy person.
That's
You'd think
true.
She would look better. Oh, wait a minute. She's... in a bar every night of her life, either
Doesn't
working
help.
Or drinking or doing what have you. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Tony Bennett, icon of American popular music. He is 85 years old today, still singing.
Yeah.
Still wearing that toupee, too. Can't pry that off his head.
I didn't know he had a toupee.
I think it's permanent.
Oh, sweet Jesus. What do you think? He just had a marmoset sitting on his forehead?
I never noticed.
Well, you would have to look at his head to recognize that he is wearing a muckluck on top of his head. Boy, he's got a bad toupee, that guy does.
What are you saying?
I'm saying it's not realistic-looking false hair is what I'm saying. Martin Sheen is 71 years old today. His next big role will be as Uncle Ben in the upcoming Amazing Spider-Man. He's taking over that role from Clint Robertson. 71 years old. Martha Stewart is 70. Movie director John Landis celebrates his 61st birthday. John C. McGinley celebrates 52 today. James Hetfield of Metallica is 48. Ed Roland of Collective Soul turns 48 years old. Stephen Carpenter, guitarist for Deftones, is 41. Spinderella of Salt and Pepper is 40 years old. And Evangeline Lilly. You loved her on Lost. I know I did.
Yep.
I've loved her in many locations, actually.
Does she know that?
No.
No, not at all.
She's 32 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Tom DeLonge from the bands Blink 182 and Angels and Airwaves joins us in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage on the show. Tito Ortiz is on. Ryan Reynolds. Jason Bateman. This is a crazy, crazy show today. But we're still going to make time for talking about our favorite show on TV, which is Repo Games.
Yeah, Repo Games is the best because they have a repossession order for your car. But what they'll do is they'll give you a chance to answer three questions out of five. You get them right, they pay off not only what you owe in back payments, but also all of future payments. So it's completely paid off. And the answers are, the questions are unbelievably simple.
Now, I was talking to Mrs. Bean yesterday, and I was telling her about the Repo Games, how it's become our obsession of the summer. And she says, and tell me if this is you've watched a lot more of the show than I have, yeah. Kevin. Is this a fair generalization? The kinds of people who let their car payments go into arrears are generally not very smart anyway.
Yes.
So no matter how easy the questions are, they are not critical thinkers, especially under this kind of pressure of, hey, I didn't know my car was being repossessed, and now I'm on a TV game show? What?
Yes, but there are exceptions. There was one woman that I don't have highlights from who just went right through them. 1, 2, 3, thank you, I'll take my car, see you later.
Nice.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. But this person is named Simone, and they are trying to go up and knock on the door. They've got the car hooked up to the tow truck, and they are trying to get Simone out to play the game.
Simone, are you home? We got some good news for you. Hey, how you doing?
Whoa. Put my truck down, man.
Come on now, Simone. We'll try to spray away the repo man.
Now, you know what she was doing? She was spraying him with...
the hose?
Pepper spray? No.
Oh.
The hose? No. Even the bee spray stuff? No. Like Lemon Pledge or whatever it is she was cleaning with. She was spraying him in the face with it.
And by the way, part of the fundamental problem of these people getting their cars repossessed is that she considers that her truck.
Of course.
Doesn't understand that it's not her truck. It's the bank's truck. She has to pay it off in order for it to be hers.
But it's funny to me that that's all she had. So she used it. She just sprayed him in the face with whatever she had. It didn't hurt him much. But he was full of confidence for her.
Winner. I see it. I already envision it.
All right. So then they start asking the questions. And the answers that Simone gives are going to be fascinating. You only need to get three right out of five.
Question number one. Legendary composer Beethoven was born in 1770 with what first name?
Beethoven. Leonardo? No, not Leonardo Beethoven. Belvedere? No.
What's going through your head right now?
By the way, Belvedere is a vodka, just for the record.
Belvedere Beethoven.
Nothing. Just Beethoven.
So you're telling me that his name was Beethoven Beethoven?
Beethoven Beethoven.
That answer is incorrect. The correct answer is Ludwig. Ludwig Beethoven.
So funny. She thought it was Beethoven Beethoven. Come on. At least, look, if you don't know his name, which I don't.
I blanked. Honestly, I was listening to that question. I totally blanked.
I don't think I would have gotten it either, but you don't say Beethoven Beethoven.
No. You take a stab at it, right? And plus, Frank. she thought he was talking about the dog, the big St. Bernard in the movie anyway.
Could be. Now, this question is going to be offensive to Bean if she doesn't get this one.
What restaurant offers their trademark Grand Slam breakfast on its menu?
Right now? Diddy's! Think I got that one.
That answer is right.
Oh, okay.
Thank God.
By the way, she thought for a little while, I cut it out for time's sake, but she did think for a little while before she got Denny's.
Really?
It's like, Bean is going to fly out and beat you. I'm telling you right now, you better get this one. So he asks her what SPF stands for.
Ooh, that's a tough question.
And I wouldn't know that either, I don't think.
SPF.
But she gets it wrong.
The correct answer is sun protection factor. Sun protection factor.
I know that now.
You do. So what does SPF stand for now?
Factor.
Okay.
Skin protector.
Oh, beautiful.
He says it twice in a row and she wasn't listening at all.
I love that.
Skin.
I would never have gotten that one right.
Me either.
I would not have known that.
All right. This one is for the car. This is, she's got two right and two wrong.
Okay.
You only get five questions. You get this question right, you get your car paid off. You get this question wrong, they have to take it. And here's the question.
The first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels. Name them.
I know John is one.
And then so she takes a break, right? And then she says axe under her breath, which is not correct. And then he decides, because it's for the car, he's going to help her.
Okay.
So he starts shouting to his, quote, assistant.
Hey, Matthew, my throat's dry, dude. Matthew, producer Matthew. Can I get something to drink, dude? My throat is killing me, cousin.
Can I get the answer to the...
Seriously, Matthew, I have to ask for another glass of water, Matthew. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Hey, you asking about some water.
You're concentrating on the wrong part. He's saying Matthew 15 times.
Oh, he's trying so hard.
Producer Matthew, Matthew, I need water. Matthew, like, how much help can he give her for her car?
Luke is correct. Mark is also correct. John is correct as well. Axe is actually the fifth book. The correct answer is Matthew. So you know what I got to do? I got to ask Greg to take your car out of here.
See, because he had to ask him.
He had to ask him.
That's sad.
So I'd like to go back to this prediction.
Winner. I see it. I already envision it.
Not happening. No. Repo Games, 11 p.m. on Spike TV.
Like you, I'm sure, Kevin. I love Justin Bieber. I'm an enormous believer.
Not a fan.
I can't wait for him to come out with another record, because my fear is his voice is going to change and he's going to suck. But I wanted to record as much as possible before he hits puberty. Having said that, I am not impressed by his latest YouTube video where he attempts to be the wacky prankster. And it doesn't do anything for me at all.
I don't know what it is about somebody who has everything to be pranking somebody who pretty much probably has nothing. For some reason, that really bugs me more than usual.
I think that's appropriate. It should bug you.
He has, you know, probably $100 million. The guy that's working the drive-thru has, you know, nothing. He's living
so why? Now. So why spend any of your time making his job miserable?
Right. Now, if you're in the same position he is financially, go for it. Have some fun. But coning is something that you do when you pull up and you order a cone. And then they hand it to you, and then you grab it from the soft ice cream end, not the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. I don't know how it's funny, because it seems to me like it just makes a mess in your car or on you.
Yeah.
Like it's how's that a joke on them?
And what if they care? They're getting paid to hand you something, whether you eat it or not. It doesn't really matter to them.
So he puts that together with buying something from one restaurant and taking it back to another, because he's a prankster now. Justin Bieber, and this is from YouTube.
We went to Wendy's and we got a Frosty, and now we're at Burger King. I'm going to return this at Burger King and say that it wasn't good and start a big deal. Excuse me. This isn't good. This didn't taste right.
You are running place.
Pardon?
This is Wendy's.
No, I got it from here.
No.
Yeah, I did. No, I did.
Cheers.
I got it from here. Can I please have another one? Thanks, man.
Oh, you're gonna hit the wall, yo! Dripping all over.
You hit all over the car. It's all over me, though.
Wow! So that happened.
Okay, that
I don't
funny.
Get what the win is for Justin Bieber for any of that. I don't understand that. But let's find out, because we asked producer Alex if she could line up the teen pop sensation, and Justin joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Justin, how are you, man?
That's so funny, eh?
Well, I mean,
because it was from a totally different restaurant, eh?
Right. It was. It didn't. I don't think we got it as much.
Oh, you guys, where's your senses of humor?
Well,
eh?
I'm just saying, you know, you're a multimillionaire, and that guy's just trying to make an honest buck.
Yeah, but I brought him something from Wendy's,
right?
And I said that I got it there,
right?
And he said, "No, you're in the wrong place." I said, "No, I got it here."
Right,
and
we get
that. It doesn't taste right.
Right.
Okay, but what did you expect him to do or say with that information, other than just to say clearly, you got it's a cup from another restaurant. It's not ours. I mean,
no,
where else could that prank go?
You're misunderstanding. I bought it from Wendy's.
We know.
And then I took it back to a place that wasn't even Wendy's, eh?
Right.
Come on, eh?
Right.
Oh, that's so funny.
So then he said, you're at the wrong restaurant.
Right.
He said, no, I'm not.
I said, no.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you ordered two ice cream cones.
Right.
And you grab them by the ice cream end and then just drove off with them, and it leaked to the ice cream. Ooh. Just dripped all over your car.
Oh, I got a stitch, eh? Oh, that is funny.
But why is that funny?
Because I didn't even grab the cones by the cone part.
Right.
And the cone is built for you to hold ice cream so it doesn't get messy.
No, I think we understand
I
that part of it.
I don't think you do, or else you'd be laughing,
well,
eh?
Well, we do. It's just that even if it was funny, don't you feel like, you know, you have hundreds of millions of dollars, that guy has nothing. Maybe don't make his day harder.
It's not about money, eh? Stop, like, focusing on, like, money.
Okay.
It's about comedy, okay?
Comedy, all right.
I am a comedian.
I didn't know you were a comedian.
I am. Okay. I'm going to, when other than music and other things that I do, like my acting, CSI.
You're acting, yeah.
Right, you were on CSI, right?
Yeah. I'm going to do, I'm been doing more comedy now because I got a wicked sense of humor, eh? And it's going to be great.
God.
And I bought that guy the thing from Wendy's. He's like, well, what's this all about?
Right.
And I said, no, it's from another, it's from this place that you work at.
Right.
Oh, man, that is sweet.
Justin, is it true that you're the new host of Punk'd? They're bringing back Punk'd at MTV and you're going to be hosting it?
Maybe. I don't know. Is that true?
I've heard that's true. Yes, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's true, eh?
Because you're so wacky and you love such hilarious situations all
you
the
know,
time?
You know, next I'm going to go to the Gap and I'm going to walk in with a puppy and say, I bought this here. And they'll say, no, we sell jeans. I'll be like, no, I got a puppy here, eh?
Right.
You take it.
Okay, and then...
And then I'll grab the puppy by the head.
What? And then that's funny how?
Because you shouldn't hold a puppy that way.
Well, that's not what
well,
I'm saying.
No,
I'm saying taking the puppy to Gap. What sense does that make? How's that?
Because they'll be so confused. Eh? They're like, oh, hey, fellow coworker, do we sell puppies? I don't know. Maybe we do. I'm unsure of my life now. Eh?
Right.
I'll their heads are going to explode. Eh?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Hey, wait, I got a joke for you.
Okay.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Nothing even rhymes with orange.
But see, that's
oh my
that's,
God.
That's awesome.
That's not what's awesome
about
it. You
can't even rhyme anything, eh?
Well, you
go
don't
ahead,
rhyme
it. Rhyme something with orange. Try it.
But right, but you don't rhyme in a knock knock joke. That's not what you do. The answer is going to be like, "Aren't you glad I came over?" or something like that. It doesn't make any sense to say the rhyme thing.
Aren't you glad I came over?
Yeah, because it works
that,
orange
eh?
Into... Because
it's a knock-knock joke, right?
Oh, wait a minute. How many Canadians does it take to change a light bulb, eh?
How many?
None, because we use CFLs here mostly, so they last much longer, so the bulb's not even burnt out, eh? Why would I change it?
That's not funny.
But I can still see because the lights are on.
Right, but...
Well, that's a good point. I can't argue with that.
How's that comedy?
Oh, one time my friend, we were talking, and I said, oh, what's that on your shirt, eh? You got a spot. And I put my finger down there on his shirt, and then he looked down, and I was totally kidding. There was nothing on his shirt at all.
Right. And then, wait, did you flip up your finger and kind of hit his face?
No, why would I do that, eh?
You may be missing the point of how comedy works, Justin.
You guys don't even get it.
We don't. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's on us. I guess we learned something.
Oh, too bad. I just hung up on you. I'm not even here anymore.
You didn't hang? What's wrong with you?
I'm still here.
Oh, my God.
Tom DeLonge from Angels and Airwaves and Blink 182 joins us after the top of the hour. And I know you're thinking, Kevin and Bean, you guys pick your own music. You guys decide what you play.
Sure.
It's all up to you, 100% your choice.
Sure.
How are you gonna follow POD? What are you gonna? I mean, how are you gonna come back after POD and blow my mind again?
I got $20 on Harvey Danger.
Well, that's an excellent guess, but no, Modest Yahoo coming up next, right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So we schooled you right there. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
More speculation on the Kings of Leon tour cancellation since we're talking music. Lots of rumors spreading about Kings of Leon right now after they abruptly canceled the remaining dates on their summer tour. Us Weekly is reporting that a source close to the band says the band is urging their frontman Caleb Followill to enter rehab, saying that his drinking is out of control.
That was what happened on the night they canceled, right?
Well, he said Dallas, he said he had to step off stage, throw up, grab another beer, and then come back and he'd finish the concert. He didn't. He left the stage and never returned. So then they had to cancel Houston the next night, claiming that he had dehydration and exhaustion.
You can be dehydrated if all you drink is alcohol.
That's true. It does tend to sap the moisture out of your system. Then they had to cancel the remaining dates on the U.S. tour.
A man drank like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
Jared famously tweeted that there are internal sicknesses in the band that are causing troubles. He said there's more wrong with this band than just not drinking enough Gatorade, leading to speculation that perhaps Caleb was a bigger problem that was being led on.
Oh, I need a drink.
Nathan Followill, the drummer, tweeted after the statement was released that the band was canceling the tour. Bummed about the tour not happening. So sorry for all the fans. We just need some rest. Thanks for understanding. We are not breaking up, he said.
Which is always the speculation when they stop mid-tour.
Right. But at least according to the drummer, Nathan, that isn't happening.
If you're the other guys in a band, I don't care what band it is, this happens all the time. If you're the other guys in the band, it's got to suck so much.
Because one guy... It always seems to be the front man, too, doesn't it? The guy who gets all the attention, who's the voice of the band, seems to go off the rails, either from an excess of attention or getting too much too soon.
But the other guys are fine, usually, and it's got to really be a bummer for them.
Yeah. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that story. More casting news regarding the upcoming Superman film, which should start shooting, well, any day now. They may already be shooting. I think they may have started last month, actually.
Release date, 2014.
2013. No! Mid-2013 is when Warner Brothers will be releasing
I was
the
joking
film.
By saying a date that's so far in the future it's not possible.
Well, they said originally Christmas of 2012. Now they've pushed it to summer of 2013.
Excellent. Make a note.
Perry White, editor for the Daily Planet. Mm-hmm. Has been cast with actor Lawrence Fishburne, most recently of CSI. He's not white.
He's good
he
in
is
everything.
Not Perry White. He will be Perry Black. They are changing the name of the character for his performance.
I never saw the other Superman movie, the last one. But
Superman Returns.
Kevin Spacey played that role in that film, didn't he?
That would be incorrect, sir. He played Lex Luthor in that film.
Oh, who was Perry White?
Frank Langella, actor Frank Langella, is who we're looking for. I'm sorry, Bean, you lose. We do give you lovely parting gifts, though, including the home version of our game, and thanks for stopping by.
Well, I just enjoyed being able to play. Thanks so much.
I hope you had a good time. Kevin Costner, Diane Lane, Michael Shannon all have signed on, which is filming in Chicago and Vancouver this summer, so Larry will be joining them. Now it makes sense why he wanted to get out of the CSI contract, because he had big movies to make.
Is he the only actor in Hollywood that has a bigger head than I do?
That is very possible.
His head is monstrous.
And since we're talking about comic book movies, Green Lantern in the news, Ryan Reynolds was being interviewed this week about his film The Change Up and was asked about Green Lantern and said, yes, plans for a second Green Lantern are already in the works. Despite the film's disappointing turn at the box office, Green Lantern is back, and Ryan Reynolds said they learned a lot from the disappointing results of the first film. They're going to make some changes that will make this one better. He said it will be more of an emphasis on action in this film. Oh, good, because that's what that movie was lacking.
What?
That's what the problem with Green Lantern was. It wasn't the characterization or the subpar script, or perhaps even your lackluster performance as Green Lantern. There wasn't enough action in the film. Thank God they're going to fix that for us. When I run Hollywood, things are going to be very different.
When is that? I've been waiting.
My name's on the list. Okay. Yeah, moving up. Yeah.
But none of the movies Kevin likes will ever get made again.
Yeah, that is bad news for Kevin.
What's going to happen? There's no zookeeper. I mean, what are you going to do, Kevin?
That's true. That's a good point.
We'll be a Paul Blart in the mix. And Charlie Sheen's character on 2.5 Men will be killed off in the first episode of the upcoming season on September the 19th. Not just killed off, but the first episode apparently will be the funeral for that character. That's how they're going to kick off the season.
So it's already in the past once they start.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They will be bringing back, and this according to Deadline Hollywood, lots of Charlie's ex-girlfriends, girls who have appeared on the show over the course of the past seasons playing his girlfriends. They will all be in attendance eulogizing Charlie. It'll be sort of a Charlie roast the same night that the actual Charlie roast is going on over at Comedy Central.
No interest in that.
Interestingly enough. And then they are going to be selling the house, which the beach house there that Charlie's character owned on the show. And they're going to have a series of high-profile celebrity guest stars coming by to look at the house, apparently, too. That's another way they're going to pack the first show with celebrity guest stars. And then Ashton Kutcher will show up, and he will buy the house, and then we're off and running on the new season.
You may hate me for this, but he seems like he might be able to play that role pretty well.
I think it's a good fit.
Okay.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a huge fan of his either.
Ashton Kutcher's work, but I think when he's cast in the right project, his sort of goofy personality can work in their favor.
Part of that role is being a bit of a douchebag.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
It's over.
Yes, it is.
And I do like the plot line that's extremely believable that he would buy a house and the people who are living in the house would stay living in the house with him.
Correct.
That happened when I bought my house.
Yep.
I'm still living with those strangers. I have no idea. They live in the walls, though, so that's not much of a...
problem.
Not much. I do hear them scurrying about at night, though. That's a little creepy. Disconcerting. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Tony Bennett is 85 years old today. Actor Martin Sheen.
He was a pussy.
Oh, come on about Tony Bennett. Martin Sheen is 71 years old. Martha Stewart, one of Kevin's favorite ladies.
Oh, man.
I think if I had to pick Kevin's top three favorite ladies, it would be... Bette Midler, I think, first.
Yes.
Bette Midler, one. Martha Stewart, two.
Yeah.
The Queen, third. I think those are the top three in Kevin's dream list.
I think you got it.
And by dream list, you mean women I hate.
By the way, I know you hate Martha Stewart, but admit she looks fantastic for 70.
She does.
It does look pretty good for 70.
Yeah, I guess. 70.
I don't have that category, but if I did, I guess so, yeah.
Speaking of looking good at an older age and Kevin's head exploding, I don't know if you saw this week or not, but LA Fitness, the gym chain, gave out their award for best celebrity body this week.
Okay.
The winner? Helen Mirren. 66-year-old Helen Mirren won the award. She is awesome, but again, Kevin cannot rationalize the fact that someone could be 66 and still be in great shape.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
That's what I'm saying. When I saw that story, I was like, oh, there's some, another thing Kevin will say.
That's just wrong. Stupid.
Then he'll reach for the bottle.
How
dare John Landis is 61. John C. McGinley is 52. James Hetfield of Metallica turns 48 years old today. Ed Roland of Collective Soul is 48. Stephen Carpenter, guitarist for Deftones, is 41. Spinderella of Salt and Pepper turns 40. And Evangeline Lilly from Lost, she plays Kate, or did play Kate on that show, 32 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We figured that you like that song, so you'd like to hear it twice. So it stopped in the middle, so then we restarted. That's how we do it.
You are so generous.
Yeah, it's world famous K-Rock at 7-Eleven.
Hey, party people, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Great show coming up. Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage later on. I said Adam Carolla. This Week in, thank you very much. Also, the stars of The Change Up, Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman, will be on the show. And Tito Ortiz talking about UFC, I want to say 133. That's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about our good friend Tom DeLonge from Blink 182 and also Angels and Airwaves? Very special A&A event happening a week from tonight. Tom, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guy. I'm not even in your studio this morning. I'm in New York, and I feel like I'm there with you.
Oh, that's sweet.
Well,
you're a member of the staff. Have you started receiving checks or no?
No, I have not.
No,
but I did get my own satellite feed.
Okay, good.
Just like you guys have.
It's like Bean. All right.
Thank you. Tom, I am intrigued by this idea. Well, first of all, I'm an Angels and Airwaves fan, but I'm especially intrigued by this idea that you have come up with about a movie and the topic of this movie and how it all kind of plays into the mythos of A&A. Tell us about it.
Well, people know me from Blink 182, obviously, but when Blink broke up years ago, I started kind of this ambitious art project called Angels and Airwaves. And you guys, actually, the K-Rock in L.A. there has played a lot of different Angels and Airwaves stuff, but it wasn't always just a band. It was the idea that we were going to take these huge themes of humanity and then we were going to communicate them on different mediums. One of them would be an album, but one of them would be film, and then in the future we would even take it even further. So 4 or 5 years ago, we started to make a movie, and we had big footsteps to follow in, kind of like, you know, because everyone automatically assumes, okay, you're going to try and do what Pink Floyd did. You know, well, we're not that good, and we don't have $20 million.
Right.
But, then other people say, okay, well, you're going to do just like a fly-on-the-wall footage documentary, or you're going to do something that's pretty narcissistic and just put yourself in the movie and try and act. And I was like, well, no, we're not doing any of those things. We actually made a science fiction film, and it's very much in the vein of Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey, but it's a movie I think the charm of the film is that it took us almost 5 years to make because we only had $500,000 to do it with, but we had so much latitude because we're a band. So we built all the space sets in our friend's the director's driveway. There's a Civil War battle that took place in his director's parents' backyard.
Yeah.
And then all these people came out of the woodwork and started working on it, like, you know, all of Darren Aronofsky's, you know, sound designers, and you know, all the CGI in the film was done by people that used to run Lucasfilm, ILM.
So what's the storyline of Love?
Well, okay, so Love, the movie, is a science fiction film. It starts in the Civil War, and a guy gets told to leave this epic battle where everyone's going to die to go witness something. You don't know what it is. And then the movie goes forward as a guy gets launched into the International Space Station and gets kind of abandoned up there. He loses all contact with Earth. All he knows is he's looking out the window and the earth is burning below him.
Ah.
He thinks it's some kind of stress experiment. He thinks they're kind of, you know, sending him through some tests by leaving him, you know, with no communication. And the only thing he finds on the ship is a diary or a journal of the guy in the Civil War that found something spectacular. And then 7 years later, he wakes up and something is in low Earth orbit outside of a ship with him. And Angels and Airwaves, it scores the whole movie. It's the movie that goes along with the record because we're launching a double album for Love on November 11th. And this is the biggest and most ambitious art project I've ever done in my life, and it's really good. We've been having sick reviews too, by the way, like Variety and Independent Film Channel and Ain't It Cool News and all the way across the board. It's like they're all giving us the.
Now, tell me about a week from today. That's when it debuts, and you're doing a Q&A, right?
So how it works is we, instead of having it do runs in all these small little independent theaters, we were able to do all the major chains. We're doing a one-day event on August 10th. It'll be in 500 theaters across the United States, and everyone will be watching it at the same time in all those theaters, and then Angels and Airwaves comes on right afterwards and performs three songs, and then we do a live Q&A, and then the world premiere of the music video that goes along with the double album and the whole thing. So it's like a big intermediate.
Here's what I like is that Tom DeLonge is super busy with Blink on the Honda Civic Tour. And on the first, he's in Anaheim, second, Sacramento, fourth, Concord, fifth, Mountain View at the Shoreline, seventh, Las Vegas, eighth, Los Angeles, the first of next month in San Diego, and he's going to squeeze this in. He's not busy enough, so he's got to squeeze this right in there.
Well, the thing is like we never, you know, Blink was supposed to kind of come out late spring, early summer, but the record comes out on September 27th, but we kept pushing it back just to kind of get it done because we're all kind of going at our own pace.
And right.
For those people who know Blink 182, we're all very, very busy people, so at our own pace pretty much means like forever.
Sure.
So it got pushed back, and next thing you know, the Angels movie and double album and the Blink are like right on top of each other. It's insane. My last year has been, it was ridiculous what I had to pull off.
You can go to fathomevents.com. You know Fathom. They're the people who put on these movie theater events. You can go there to buy tickets. We are also giving away tickets through the website. If you want to go to kevinandbean.com, you can enter for a chance to win tickets. And I guess we have a number of tickets for every screening that's going to be happening in Southern California for next Wednesday night to see the Angels and Airwaves movie. I wish we had more time for this, but I have to ask, Tom, because I know you, like I, are a huge space enthusiast. But the difference between us is you can't afford to go into space. How come you haven't plopped down your money already to be on that Virgin Galactic or something and go up there and get you some weightlessness?
I know. Could you imagine? I think that I would, if I had to choose to go to space, I think it's pretty scary. I mean, the idea of, you know, sitting on top of a giant rocket and going out, that seems like pretty nuts to me. But I think one day maybe it will be more affordable.
But you would do it. I mean, that's something you would do, right? You're crazy enough.
I think I would. You know, if Lance Bass will do it and I won't, that would be
that would speak to your masculinity.
Well, just for the record, he didn't. So
I know. He didn't.
Because he wanted somebody else to pay for it. Yeah. I love the idea of this movie, and you're right. The reviews have been terrific. And, you know, a movie we all saw a couple years ago with Sam Rockwell called Moon kind of explored a similar thing with a guy up in space.
And that's a very important point. We've been working on our film, right, at that point for 3 years, right? And all of a sudden this new trailer pops up with this movie called Moon with a guy on a treadmill. We're like, all we have is a treadmill in our film. We were so pissed.
Oh, no. They stole our movie.
But I mean, it's a great psychological experiment to see what would happen to somebody cut off from the entire universe and by himself out in space. I just love the psychological ramifications of that, and I can't wait to see what you do with it in the film. And by the way, go see it next Wednesday night. fathomevents.com if you want to buy tickets, kevinandbean.com if you want to win them, and then November 11th you'll have a chance to own it because you're putting out a deluxe edition that's going to be the movie and the soundtrack and the whole deal, right, Tom?
The whole deal, double album, everything on November 11th. And for the last thing I'll say is go to appletrailers.com and type Love, Angels, and Airwaves, and you can watch the trailer there.
You should start another band at the same time.
I'm trying.
Tom, you're the best, man. We always love having you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, guys.
We do phone-in topics all the time here in the Kevin and Bean Show, and generally anyone is invited to call. But in this particular instance, we are looking for the law. We're looking for police. We're looking for the popo. We want to hear from the 5-0. We want to hear your experiences, your stories.
Stop.
of people.
Can you not say popo?
Please.
Would you mind?
Of people who came up with excuses that they thought might help them get out of a traffic ticket. Kevin, tell us why we're interested in this today.
Yeah, and you can call us anonymously if you need to. 1-800-520-1067. In New Zealand, there was a dude driving a car going 90 miles an hour, and there was a police chase. And they were going to put out a spike strip, and then they finally got him to pull over, and the woman in the passenger seat was pregnant. So she put her feet up on the front of the
dashboard,
and she was like, and the guy said, she's having a baby right now, so we need to get her to the hospital. This is to get out of a ticket, right? So the police said, okay, fine. So they closed off traffic, and they called an ambulance, and they brought an ambulance. They took her to the hospital. And then they called back about a half hour later to the hospital to find out how the mom had done. And she had already checked out because she wasn't having a baby right then.
Wow.
So they had the dude's information. So they later arrested him for reckless driving.
Man.
But they went that far to get out of a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So she was pregnant.
She was pregnant, yes.
But not at the point of having a baby and having any reasonable excuse to speed to get to the hospital. The cops were like, hey, if you're really having a baby, we get it. That's legitimate. We'll
right.
help you. Turned out she just made the whole thing.
They
were
you would not have thought that they would call back and check on her.
No,
would you?
I wouldn't either. Wow. No, but they did. They called back and they said, oh, it's, oh, yeah, that woman, yeah, we can't find her. She checked out without our knowledge.
Just
so now
out.
They'll probably get the driver for not only the speeding and the reckless driving, they'll probably get him for, for lying to the cops. They'll probably get him for the money, the time and money that they spent on the ambulance to take the woman to the hospital. I mean, there's a lot of trouble here for this dude.
So 1-800-520-1067. We want to take this from the different angle, which is you were or are working police and the excuses that you heard, the ways people tried to get out of their tickets.
The popo? Is that
the
what we're
popo,
looking for?
That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067.
Let's face it. They have to hear them all, right?
Of course.
I mean, because this is what you do. When you get pulled over in a traffic situation, you have that 20 to 45 seconds between when the police officer pulls you over and the time that he arrives at your window to ask for your driver's license and registration to think of an excuse. All right, what do I have? What do I know? What can I use that somehow is going to get me out of this ticket? There must be something I can use. And sometimes I'm sure people just come up with crazy stuff.
Let's take one call real quick, and then we'll take a break and come back with the others at 1-800-520-1067. All right, Michael, hi.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean.
What?
Hey, yeah, I'm a police officer. I work traffic a lot, and I get tons of excuses. Usually the boring ones, the usual, I'm late for school, I got to the hospital, all that BS.
Right.
But this one kid, I found out later, because he had used it on another officer, he keeps a small can of Campbell's clam chowder. He throws it in his mouth, and then when I get in the car, he throws it up. And I'm looking at all this stuff all over his hands and all over his pants.
Sweet.
I'm like, oh, my God, I am going to give some kid a ticket. I'm not going to give him my pen to write him to sign the ticket. There's throw up all over the place.
So he is always ready with clam chowder in case he gets pulled over so he can fake throw up.
He must drive like a maniac all the time.
Pretty much.
You got to give that guy credit, Michael. You got to go, yes, he deserves it.
You know what? Kevin just really throws up.
Yeah.
My thing is, if you can make me laugh at a traffic stop, well, then I'm letting you go.
Really? That's it?
Oh,
all right.
Nice.
And sometimes if they're cool kids, I'll just say, all right, make me laugh, and you're out of a ticket. And at first they sit there, and there's some people who can't even think of a joke. I'm like, dude, if you think of a joke, you're not getting a ticket for speeding like 20 miles over the speed limit.
Yeah.
And they just freeze.
When
up.
You're put on the spot, when somebody says to you, think of a joke right now, at least I know for myself, nothing comes.
Uh-uh. That's just,
and you're not feeling very funny at that point, too, when you got a police officer looking at you, you know? That's awesome.
And the good ones is when I pull over Marines and I make them do push-ups. You know, that's the cool thing about being a cop.
Sweet.
I can make them do push-ups.
I like it.
Oh, nice. Michael, you are doing excellent work out there. I wish they were more like you, man. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Later.
All right. Can of clam chowder to simulate vomit. That's a great start. 1-800-520-1067. What have you heard, police officers, from somebody trying to get out of a ticket? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you very much. Right now, you ready to take some calls from the fuzz?
Yes.
Want to get the heat on?
The fuzz has been used since the late 70s.
Let's talk to Mark. He's on line two. We were talking about what the lengths people will go to make up stories to get out of a traffic ticket. And Kevin brought in a story about a woman who faked being way more pregnant than she was and said she was in her way to the hospital to give birth.
Giving birth turned right out, now. I got to go.
Turned out not to be true. Then Michael called in and talked about a kid who really had it thought out and pretends to vomit. He keeps Campbell's soup clam chowder in his car that he just spreads all over the dashboard. It says, look, I'm so sick. So we want to find out what else is out there. Mark, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I'm a valley officer, and the strangest story I got, I pulled over this young couple for speeding. And as I approached the vehicle, you know, I asked them, well, you know, what's the big rush? And they said that they were on the way to see their mother in the hospital and that she was in grave condition. They said she was going to die.
Okay.
And I said to him, okay, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you tell me the hospital, and I'll give you an escort there.
Sweet.
They couldn't come up with the name of a hospital.
Nice. Now, I'm sure you've heard everything, so that was, as soon as they said that, you probably thought, I'll ask them, you know, I'll give them an escort, and then they'll be caught. They can't give me any more information than that.
Right, and I mean, this way, if it was true, I got them there safely without them killing themselves or somebody else.
Right. Now, as a police officer who deals with the public a lot, Mark, do you have a pretty good radar on when people are lying to you?
Oh, yeah. You can tell pretty much by their body movements or their emotions on their face when you're talking to them.
And I wanted to ask this. What percentage of people do try to talk themselves out of a traffic ticket versus just accepting, all right, you got me. I'm not happy about it, but here's my information. Let me get out of here.
I would say about 70%. I mean, most of the time, like, if I pull somebody over and they're like, yeah, you know, I deserve the ticket, I know I was doing wrong, you know, usually I'll let them off the warning depending on what the violation is.
You will. Oh, that's interesting. So, in other words, if you pull over somebody going 40 in a 25, which is dangerous but is pretty commonly done, that's the type of thing you'd be willing to give them leeway on. Not if they're going 80, but if they're going 40, if they admit it and they say they'll try harder, you might just give them a warning.
Yeah. I mean, the thing of it is this. I mean, believe it or not, police officers have a heart, too. You know, everybody thinks that we're out there to get them and just generate money, but we're out there for the public safety and the safety of the pedestrians.
What part, and maybe this is the flip side of what Bean just asked, but how many people that you pull over do you just give warnings versus tickets?
I would say maybe one out of every seven or eight.
You give a warning.
Yeah.
All right.
Gotcha. All right. Very interesting. And I love the story about the made-up hospital, too. That's very funny. Thank you for the call, Mark. Keep doing the good work out there. Let's try Will. Will is on line four, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, officer, what's going on?
Not much. So I pulled over a guy. He was going 60 in a 25 at about 3:30 in the afternoon on a school day.
I was going to say, is the 25 a school zone?
Yeah, it was a school zone.
Wow.
So, needless to say, I had to pull him over. I walk up to the car, and the guy starts grabbing his stomach. He starts moaning and groaning. And I ask him what's going on, get his license and everything. And he says, look, if I don't get home within the next couple minutes, I'm going to go to the bathroom in my pants.
Oh, and, see, to me, if I'm a cop, then I just go, well, you're going to be a while.
Why would you do that,
just
Kevin?
Just because I find it funny.
You get that excuse all the time.
Yeah.
It's the most common one that I get.
Now, that's interesting, Will, because that's the one that I thought would work the most, but you're over it. It doesn't do anything for you.
Oh, no. Definitely not.
But wait, so you didn't let him go or you did?
I ended up letting him go, but only because he actually followed through with his plan.
Wait a minute.
So you're saying that you pulled him over doing that amount in a school zone, and he said, if I don't get there in a couple of minutes, I'm going to poop my pants. And then he followed through and pooped his pants.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And it was noticeable.
What's
his name? Psycho Mike.
Was his name Psycho Mike?
Yeah, he does have a problem with the fear. So you had a bad day as a police officer, but he had a much worse day. I mean, imagine he went home and thought, now I've crapped myself and I got a ticket.
No,
he didn't get the ticket.
No, we'll let him off without a ticket because he followed through with his threat.
I did follow him home, though.
Right.
To make sure that he went straight to his house and not somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So he got out of his car and ran inside.
What's the rush at that point?
Oh, my God.
That is so sweet.
All right. I'm glad you called. I wish I could erase the image of what you've just shared with us, Will, but have a great day, officer. Thanks.
Thank you, bud.
This Week in Rage. With Adam Carolla is coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, because it's Wednesday. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Pete with Ralph.
Samantha Ronson, Lindsay Lohan's ex-girlfriend, has some legal troubles. Apparently she was...
How dare you, sir? She is beautiful. Just look at her mugshot.
Not
if you look
mugshot.
At her mugshot that's online today, you will see a gorgeous young lady in the prime of her femininity.
First, you'll see a dude, and then you go, wait, I was trying to get Samantha Ronson. And
you'll see a dude who looks vaguely like a raccoon who's been hosed down for going through someone's garbage. That's pretty much what she looks like.
That's a perfect description of that photo.
Yeah. She was popped last Monday, going 89 miles per hour in her Porsche, pulled over by San Bernardino Sheriff's Department, and she turns out was drunk, or allegedly. And so she was hauled in for two misdemeanors of driving under the influence. She was going back to L.A. from Vegas at the time of the arrest, so I guess she figured it didn't count. Look, it's just desert. What can I hit?
True.
Right?
But if you're drunk.
Oh, I'm drunk, so I might hit sand. Oh, I might hit a cactus. Seriously, where's the victim in this crime?
There's other cars.
Oh, maybe I'll hit a giant thermometer. What really? If you're going to be drunk driving, that's the stretch to do it
in. I don't think that's the message
at
all.
I heard that on Diamond Radio.
That is
they told
what?
Me it was okay.
That is not
that
the message
station
at all.
You can only get out there in the hinterlands? You know, Lisa.
98.99 FM?
Yeah, isn't that, what's it
Highway
called?
Country?
Highway Country?
It's 98 and 99?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't think they say that either.
She was released in about 5:30 in the afternoon, but time is all said and done, so we'll wait and see what the courts have to say to her. I'm suggesting they will wag a finger.
Yeah.
She's
going to enter rehab first, though, before they...
Wouldn't it be funny if they sent her away for like 20 years hard time and Lindsay Lohan and does drugs?
But Lindsay...
She's hot.
Lindsay killed a dude on TV, right? I mean, that happened.
That didn't happen.
That's what I thought.
All.
But if Samantha gets sent to the pen, she will take over the cell block. So that's fine. She's got that look of a boss about her. She'll be. She'll run things. She'll get a little tear tattoo on the side of her eye, and she will just be the capo de capos, as they say in the mafia. Lorne Michaels has announced Alec Baldwin will be the first host for the upcoming season of Saturday Night Live.
Always good.
He's always funny. This will be his 16th time hosting, which makes him number one in most hosting jobs ever on SNL.
Wow.
I think it's a constant battle between him and Steve Martin. They seem to trade off back and forth. I think they're right around the same number together.
He is so good on Saturday Night Live,
yes, too.
I don't know. I mean, he's an excellent actor, and he's got great comedic timing. He seems like and he's up for anything. Seems like the perfect host.
He's the only time I watch that show now.
Yeah, it's not worth
it.
When
I hear he's
going
to be a host, I put it on. No, I think it is worth it when he's on it.
Because
that's how good he is.
For me, it's, hey, I'd like to see that, but I'm still not going to.
Really? Well, at least it gets you that far.
Yeah.
By the way, just to wrap your mind around this, SNL's 37th season.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
37 seasons.
Yeah.
37 years that's been on the show.
Yeah.
That's been on television.
I hear you.
I can't really wrap my mind around that.
A bit of an upswing in the last few years in terms of ratings, too. I mean, it seems like the show is very healthy. It's not like it's just barely hanging on.
No. Well, it doesn't have a lot of competition in that time slot
still, of course,
to this day, which helps. And, oh, my goodness. Amy Winehouse. Now they're saying she may have been planning a wedding before her untimely death.
Oh, no.
Sources are telling the UK's Daily Mail, which is a tabloid, so take it for what it's worth, that her boyfriend, Reg Travis, proposed to her just weeks before she passed and that the two were set to marry next year. Word is Amy wanted a normal life, start a family, and get rid of all of her demons once and for all, according to friends, but didn't happen.
That was cut short.
A drug dealer friend... Can you really have a drug dealer friend?
I don't know. Probably not.
It depends on how much they charge you, I guess. Said that Amy bought almost $2,000 worth of crack cocaine and heroin the night before she died.
$2,000.
So the theory that maybe she was getting sober too quickly may not have been the cause of death after all.
Dr. Drew. Dr.
Dr. Drew's a hack.
What are you talking about?
Now I got a little tickle in my throat.
Dr. Drew said that wasn't true.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I don't listen to your show.
But she did buy the crack cocaine from Dr. Drew is what I
yeah,
heard.
Yeah, that's not what I heard, too. Either. Yeah.
Oh, he is. He's like Dr. Detroit. He's like a kingpin of drugs all over the America. He's got a network of dealers that work for him.
100% incorrect.
Think about it. What could be better for Dr. Drew than to drive up drug addiction? And then you go and you put them in your rehab. You start charging money to try to get them off.
I don't think he's at a loss.
It's the perfect self-perpetuating business model.
It's genius.
But it's not true.
Kevin, Dr. Drew invented the first one's free. You know that, right? He's the guy that started that process.
That is a lie and not true, and you know it.
He's a brilliant, brilliant criminal, Dr. Drew.
Both know
he's an evil genius.
Not true.
He's a master criminal.
He is a genius, but you both know he's not a master criminal.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tony Bennett is 85 years old today. Martin Sheen turns 71. Martha Stewart turns 70.
She's a master criminal.
She is not. She is a lifestyle guru par excellence.
Yeah.
John Landis is 61. John C. McGinley is 52. James Hetfield of Metallica turns 48 today, as does Ed Roland of Collective Soul. Stephen Carpenter of Deftones is 41. Spinderella, he used to be on the ones and twos for Salt and Pepper, is 40 years old today. And Evangeline Lilly from Lost celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I love me some Jason Bateman so much. I love him so much. And he's joining us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Amin Show, along with this co-star from a new film, Ryan Reynolds, is going to be on, too. Him I'm not sold on yet, but we'll see how it goes. First, though, AdamCarolla.com is where you want to go for all the Ace Man podcasts and details on upcoming live events, including this Saturday in Las Vegas at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay, then Thousand Oaks, Ontario, and more. Don't miss Mr. Carolla on The Car Show Wednesday nights. That's tonight at 10 on Speed. Ace, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, get it on.
By the way,
get
it on.
You promoting that car show. I've seen you in a tub enough now for a while.
All right, I'll tell him to back it off.
Okay,
good.
Wednesdays is when Adam joins us. Why, you ask? Because he's angry about something. It's This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at 3 and working our way down to number 1. I was watching TV last night, and they did that super depressing annual, here's how much every celebrity made thing.
Right, sure.
And first off, Oprah on top with $290 million. I think Simon Cowell comes in with $90 million.
And this is in 1 year, right?
This is in 1 year, but Oprah's $200 million above Simon Cowell.
My God.
That guy wipes his ass with 20s and then occasionally lights a cigar with them. And the point is, first off, imagine how much Oprah would be raking in if we weren't such a racist, sexist society. I mean, it could be into the billions, right?
Right.
I mean, here she is being held down by the man.
I don't think she's held down.
Well, come on. Don't be naive, Kevin. Open your eyes.
Look, she's a black woman. She's doing as well as she can, Kevin. That's what Adam said.
The point is I've been around for enough Martin Luther King days to know that even though we've made a lot of progress, there's a lot more to do. Lot more, meaning Oprah could get to $500 million. That's the subtext of a lot more.
She's
beating every human being by $200 million. But anyway, Dr. Phil is on that list at $80 million. And for some reason, I'm much more disturbed by that.
You should, because he's not a doctor, A.
Yes.
And B, he's annoying.
He doesn't do anything.
No.
And I just thought, like, between him and sort of like Nancy Grace, you know, the people who just sit there and they're outraged by the obvious?
Yep.
Well, excuse me, but I think duct taping your child's mouth shut and throwing in the back of a Pontiac Solstice, this is not a good thing to do. Now we're going to commercial.
We can do that.
Don't you feel like any of us could do that?
Sure.
You preload yourself with like 4 isms. Like, I like wearing a collar, but rolling up my sleeves. And then that'd be it. Back up the Brinks truck. What the hell? Do you guys know Jesus' best year was $2,200?
That's it? Wow.
Best year.
I didn't know that
best
they kept track.
Year.
Wow.
Best year. That was before taxes. Best year. And Dr. Phil, $80 million for just spitting out those old aphorisms.
You have made bad choices.
Thanks, number two, The Bachelorette is getting a nose job, at least the one from last season or whatever. By the way, whenever somebody gets a nose job and they do it on Entertainment Tonight, like, we go under the knife.
Right.
The Bachelorette. We don't need the interview part where they go, I've always hated my nose. No ass. You're cutting half of it off.
That's a given?
Yeah, we get it. We know. If you've always loved your nose, you wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, that's true.
But I just started thinking, you know, between the nose job and the veneers and the spray-on tans and the weaves and the lipo, it's unfair. It's not a level playing field anymore, meaning good-looking people get better husbands and better jobs and let out of speeding tickets. It is like... It is what steroids is to baseball, to life. Everyone's playing with a corked bat now. It's unfair. If you're a chick who can't afford a boob job or a nose job, you're going to get passed over in life, and you'll get passed over so they can get to a chick who was uglier than you in the ninth grade.
That doesn't seem fair.
She had a stepdad who gave her $5,000. Well, listen,
it's true.
As a society, if we frown... on a couple of, you know, if somehow Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa have ruined baseball because they slammed a few steroids, this is the ultimate game, and these guys are juicing, and they shouldn't get into the Hall of Fame.
I think you make an excellent point, Adam.
Yes, we're all being punished for it. All right, last but not least, number one. I had to switch from the 80s station I will occasionally listen to around the house because I couldn't take any more of the safety dance and all the worst song ever, the, you know, Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics played on a never-ending loop, and all the horrible 80s songs when there's so much great Elvis Costello out there to listen to, but now we're deprived of it. I switched it over to the 70s station. Yesterday, I heard... in this order, these three songs. Started off with a nice dose of Witchy Woman by the Eagles.
Okay.
Ooh, she's a witch. She's got cat's eyes. And that followed up by the worst song, well, top three on the planet, Hot Legs by Rod Stewart.
Okay.
Is there anyone who ever sits around and goes, I could go for some Hot Legs? Like,
no,
I need to hear that song. Come on, we're going on a road trip. Put together a mix cassette. What do we need? Oh, don't forget Hot Legs.
Make sure you got that.
Make sure. Hot legs, no need to hear it. Witchy Woman, never needed to hear it. And then I was sitting there just waiting. What could be worse than this? How could it get... The Joker by Steve Miller came on. Mm. And I thought, this is the trifecta of pure S. And I thought, what? And then I start yelling at my wife. Did Led Zeppelin come out with a song or two in the 70s? Was that the Who's Dormant Years? Did the Stones come out with anything in the 70s? Like, can we play good music? What are we doing to ourselves?
Well, you did change it to the 70s on purpose. I mean, that was your choice.
I was trying to get away from the 80s.
But those songs are in the 70s, so...
I know, but they're the worst songs from the 70s.
They do pick the worst, and they do seem to rotate them the most.
Yes, and by the way, I don't want any more radio stations that do this as a format. We play the 70s, 80s, 90s, and the best of today. You can't. You're playing everything. Eventually, you're going to go, and we go into the future. Give me that crap.
There's no question that Adam is about a minute away from an aneurysm, but if he survives, please check him out on stage this Saturday night in Las Vegas at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. Upcoming dates next week in Thousand Oaks and then Ontario at the Improv. The car show's on the Speed Channel tonight at 10. All the information at adamcarolla.com. Ace, have a great week, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. Looking ahead toward tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, Dr. Drew is going to be on with his weekly segment, talking about everything in his world. Kat Von D is going to be stopping by. Who knows for how long? Maybe for 45 seconds?
She's the best. I made fun of her when I saw her at LA Rising. I saw her there. I was like, hey, you're going to run out on us. That's funny. Or you ran out on whatever TV station. She said, I didn't. I wasn't. That wasn't. I didn't. That was her excuse.
Well, we love Kat Von D. We're very excited to see her. And also, the champ joins us tomorrow. The King of Mexico's good friend, Mike Tyson, for reals, will be on the Kevin DeBean Show tomorrow. I'm sure talking about pigeons. First, though, a movie that a lot of people are excited about. You've been seeing the commercials for some time. It finally comes out this Friday. Is called The Change-Up. It stars two big, big stars, Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds. They have been doing some press on this movie. Here's what they're saying.
We really need you to sell the fact that this is a body-switching movie.
Okay.
Do they?
Yeah, no? I don't think they do.
No, I mean, we just tell them the truth. You know, the body switching is a pretty stupid idea. That the movie's funny. If they go, they'll laugh their off.
Yeah? Simple.
Good. Come see the change-up. No dumber than a movie about a bunch of talking apes. Good reason.
I like that you can't finish chewing before you finish the promo. I like that. That's good.
What are you guys eating while you're doing these interviews? Seriously.
Those are some yummy barbecue chips.
Oh, yeah. Low carb.
This is how seriously these guys are taking the promotional duties of the change-up. It's like, well, whatever. We might talk to some people while we have some lunch. Ryan Reynolds, Jason Bateman, welcome both of you to the Kevin Amin Show. How are you guys?
Thank you for having us. Yeah,
you know, you make a good point, and you're smart to come out at the very beginning and say, look, we've all seen Freaky Friday. We've all seen 17 Again. These movies exist where people wake up in different bodies. We get it. We know it's been done and it's been played, but... trust us. We know what we're doing. We believe in the people that are making the movie. Come see it, and it's funny. I mean, that's the message, right?
Well, we won't steer you wrong. I mean, we felt the same way. I mean, when we got this came across our way, we thought, why the hell would anybody not who's not on crystal methamphetamine want to do another body switch?
Well, let's start with that. Were you on crystal meth? Was that
No. I know I'm an actor, but no, I'm actually. I think I'm the only one.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I've never been even to jail.
Right now, I'm tweaked out.
Yeah,
sweet. Jason, I would have pegged you for a user. No question.
Yeah, just got some homemade stuff.
All right, so...
We got this script that we just thought, you know, this is ridiculous. Why we want to do this? And then, you know, you realize it's the guys from The Hangover who wrote it, and David Dobkin from The Wedding Crashers. And, you know, very quickly, by about page 8 of reading the script, you realize they're going hard rated R for this. And so for us, that was
yeah, it was surprising. No one's ever done the R-rated version of a body switching movie. I mean, like, if you're not an idiot, when you switch bodies, you're going to do some really R-rated stuff while you've got a chance.
Yeah, of course.
I also find this interesting, and for folks maybe who haven't seen the trailer, Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but Ryan, your character is a young and single womanizer, lady killer. Jason, your character is the older married guy with the kids, and you both see aspects in, you know, your good friends, you see aspects in each other's lives that you envy, the grass is always greener type deal, and then I assume that you all learn a valuable lesson at the end to be appreciative for what you've got, right?
That's exactly right. Yes. There's a little lesson at the end, but we don't go all seventh heaven with it. But it is there. It is very, very, very formulaic. But you know, we all knew that going into it, so we knew that we had a nice high bar we had to jump over to actually qualify as entertainment.
It is funny and super odd to hear somebody admit that their movie is formulaic. I mean, that just doesn't happen every day.
Yeah. Comedy basically has like three basic premises that set up humor, and one of them is, you know, that sort of fish out of water thing, and body swapping gets you there. So that's why you've seen so many versions of it. But I can't believe no one's ever done the R-rated version.
No one does R-rated versions of almost anything anymore. It all has to be PG-13 so they can bring in the bucks. And so people who enjoy R-rated movies rarely get to see them.
Yeah,
except this summer, R-rated comedies are breaking records left and right. So we actually, it looks like we stumbled upon some good timing.
Yeah, especially, and you mentioned the Hangover connection to this film. I mean, The Hangover 1 and The Hangover 2 are the two biggest R-rated comedies of all time. So you got a great pedigree. Let me ask you, Ryan Reynolds, here. When Jason talks about taking advantage of the hard R, what are you talking about here? What kind of stuff? I mean, are we talking boobies or what?
Well, we got, sure, you got some of that. You got all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's really no, you know, at the beginning of the film, for the majority of the film, I play the conservative guy, you know, stuck in the Lothario's body. But for the beginning, I'm me. I'm the guy who's the sort of ne'er-do-well, out-of-work actor. But he has a job that he gets, and this job is going to keep a roof over his head. He has to keep it. It's a job in a movie, a big movie. He's very excited about it. And when we switch bodies, unfortunately, Jason Bateman, who's now in my body, has to go and do the day on the film set. And as he gets there, he finds out that I'm not working on a legit movie. I'm working on what's called a Lorno. They light porn. It's stuff like that that you could just never get away with. I mean, if it was the PG-13 Kirk Cameron Dudley Moore version,
exactly.
You know, so
of course,
it's.
And Jason, you play uncomfortable so well. It seems like you're rarely in a project where you're not really, really like struggling to stay above water in the situation you find yourself in.
That is a chronic irritable bowel syndrome that I have that I've figured out how to monetize.
So you are actually uncomfortable at all times.
That's correct.
Well, that sucks.
I found a way to get paid for
it. It's the spastic colon.
I have to be honest. Jason, you've been on our show many times over the years, and you know what a huge fan all of us here are of you and your work. Ryan, I haven't been so sold on you previously. No, I'm serious. But Ryan is really winning me over lately. A, you're a hilarious dude in real life. And the piece that you wrote for Entertainment Weekly this summer, the Ryan Reynolds piece about why you love Ryan Reynolds, was one of the funniest things I read all year. So I'm saying good on you.
Well, Mike, thank you very much. I'm glad to win you over on something.
I'm saying I've been a fan of yours, Ryan Reynolds, for almost 4 weeks. That's what I'm telling you.
I can provide you with a medium pressure massage as soon as I get there.
It's a backhanded compliment, but he did give it.
Exactly.
I'll take it any way I can get it.
And as you
great timing on that new fandom because he kills it in this movie, and he actually wrote quite a bit of the funny lines I say in this movie. So
fantastic!
But you can blame Ryan.
I know you guys got to go in a second. I do just want to ask Jason one question about Arrested Development, the movie. Give us an update.
There is no significant update.
Come on!
Except that the thing that is the last barrier is a bit of icky business that they're trying to get accomplished with our boss, our showrunner, our director, our writer, this guy Mitch Hurwitz, who's a genius. So as soon as they give him everything that he's asking for, which he fully deserves, we will be underway.
Got it.
Oh, that's great news. And I saw Will Arnett saying similar things earlier in the week, so it sounds like it's really, really happening. Ryan, can't you use some of your megawatt star power and go in there and slam your fist on a desk and get it done?
I've done that. It wasn't my fist I slammed on the desk.
The Change Up is the name of the movie. It opens everywhere on Friday. Ryan Reynolds, Jason Bateman. Great to have both you guys on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.
The Huntington Beach bad boy, Tito Ortiz himself, joins us after the top of the hour talking about UFC 133. Plus, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat coming up. First, though, check out this news story and see if you're surprised.
Arnold Schwarzenegger now has a museum dedicated to his life back where it all started.
The Village of Thal is opening a museum in his honor. That's where Schwarzenegger grew up. In fact, the museum is at his old family home.
The house itself had no running water or electricity when Arnie was growing up.
The museum runs through from Arnie's bodybuilding days to his acting career and rise to the governorship of California. The house itself has been preserved as it was in 1947, from Arnie's steel tube bed to the outhouse in the kitchen where his mother cooked and baked.
For movie buffs, highlights include a sword from Conan the Barbarian and a motorcycle from Terminator, along with some life-size models of Schwarzenegger in those iconic roles. The museum opens Saturday, marking Arnold's 64th birthday.
I doubt I'll ever go to that museum.
I guarantee that if I was in that town, I wouldn't go to that museum.
The Bean goes to every museum.
Let's find out more about it with the former governor of the great state of California himself. Arnold Schwarzenegger joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Arnold.
Yes.
Your childhood home, this is the home where your family was living when you were born, right? Is now a museum.
That's hot, isn't it? I got my own museum now. I'm like a T-Rex.
It didn't. What?
I'm like a T-Rex.
Oh, it didn't sound very hot. It sounded like a pretty crappy museum.
Nah, it's awesome. You get to see the outhouse in the kitchen.
Right.
Which is really a bad place for an outhouse, opinion.
Why would they put the outhouse in the kitchen? That is a good question.
Everything my mother
cooked. Arnold, you can't use that kind of language on the air.
I was just going to thank you for watching your language.
You're not allowed to use the S word on the radio. What are you thinking?
I'm not in politics.
Oh, I see.
Right. I have to watch my behavior.
Well, you do if you're on this show. Please be careful. Is it just that this small town, where were you born? It's Graz? Is that the name of the town?
Yeah, Graz, Austria.
Okay. Is it just that they got nothing else going on, so they figured, hey, why not capitalize on the one famous person that came out of here?
No, because it's the beginnings of a much larger plan for the Arnold Schwarzenegger amusement park.
What?
Yeah, the museum is just the first opening gambit for what will be an entire entertainment center based around my life.
I didn't realize that was in the works.
Yeah, this is just the beginning. The boyhood home of the greatest bodybuilder actor ever.
Right.
And then we add on the, you know, rides and attractions for the children and for everyone.
Okay, like what kind of rides?
We're going to get the roller coasters. You can go on the exciting roller coasters, the most exciting roller coasters ever. like the Fatterhorn, where you get in a roller coaster and you run over fat people.
No.
Oh, that's
disgusting with their lack of muscle tone.
That sounds like fun, actually. I might like to do that.
And then, you know, for the smaller kids, you can ride through It's a Hot World After All.
Sure.
Ah, that's hot. That's hot. You just hear it over and over again while you're riding through.
And you think people want to do that?
Yeah, they okay. will. Mm-hmm. Then you go on Royd Mountain, which is a roller coaster that you go through. It takes you through the Muscle Beach in Venice.
Right.
All the way to all the Gold's Gyms where I worked out. And as you go by, needles stick you.
What?
It's like taking a 12-week course of roids in one ride.
Actual needles.
Yeah, that's exciting.
That's a terrible idea.
No, it's hot. Then there's the Haunted Mansion.
Okay, that's the same as
No, it's not the
Disneyland.
Same because everywhere you turn, you see Maria Shriver. I'm being haunted. It's so scary and horrible. And then you can walk through the Hall of Illegitimate Children.
Okay. That sounds fun.
Animatronic statues of all the many illegitimate children I have.
How many do you have now? Are you?
Well, we're still counting. Yes, but right now there's 147 robots in there.
Wow, but all different shapes and sizes and colors and ages and races, right?
Yeah, it's like a small world itself with all the different races and creeds that are represented there.
Sure.
Fantastic.
And
I love it.
At the end, you make a donation so I can pay child support.
Well, I don't think we'd pay at the end, really.
Yeah. So you pay to get out of this amusement park.
I see. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, what do you have to give away?
Could I be more excited to see Coldplay in concert? I don't think so. They seem like most gracious fellows, I must say.
Nice.
I haven't heard a lot of Ed Grimley lately.
No, you haven't.
I miss Ed Grimley.
It's true.
Pat Sajak, he seems like a prince of a guy, if I must say so. Can't wait to do it. Oh, Vanna, give me a vowel. I'd like to see it, please, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Great character, Ed Grimley.
He was a Saturday Night Live character, right?
That's he was an SCTV from? Character first.
Oh, bitch. Interesting.
Then he brought that character SNL when he went there. Martin Short did. Martin Short, wildly talented man.
I agree.
Saw his one-man show in New York City with Bean, of all people. We actually went and did something together. Yes.
We did. That's true.
On purpose?
Yes. And then I saw him again here in Los Angeles in his one-man show. And he's
hilarious.
He can sing, dance, hilariously funny, great impressions, great characters.
And he's the lead singer of Coldplay?
No.
How does this figure in?
He showed up in last week or the week before his Weeds episode, too, which was a surprising cameo to see Martin Short on that show.
I love seeing him on Weeds. Could I be so happy? I believe I could.
If you'd like to see Coldplay, we've got tickets to give away to the Samsung AT&T Summer Crush Evening with Coldplay, benefiting the Grammy Foundation. It's happening tonight at the UCLA Tennis Center.
So don't call if you can't come tonight.
Yeah, you got to have the evening free. If you'd like to go, I've got four pairs of passes to give away to this great event, which is benefiting the Grammy Foundation, a great cause. If you'd like to attend, here is your trivia question. This is for Coldplay fans only. So if you're on the phone already and you don't know stuff about Coldplay, just hang up. Just kill yourself.
Well,
in the radio sense.
Oh, figure
take yourself out.
Okay.
Yeah. Chris Martin studied at the University College London.
True.
That is true, yes. Where he also met his future bandmates. They all met in school there. What did he get his degree in there at the University College London? What did he get his degree in? It was not music. I will tell you that much. If you know the answer, call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First four people get a pair of passes to the Samsung AT&T Summer Crush.
We got a winner!
Evening with Coldplay benefiting the Grammy Foundation. You don't have a winner.
I can see
right here you don't have a winner.
That's correct.
Can't fool me.
I don't know why he yelled that.
I'm too smart for you, I must say.
I'll be doing that all day now. Kat Von D.
is the best.
She's going to be on the show tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Theoretically, she's going to be on the show tomorrow.
She is going to be. She doesn't cancel.
She's confirmed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm just saying.
Why?
I feel bad for her because the press won't leave her alone.
Yeah, I do too.
They're just all over the place. She was recently spotted trying to go to the gym, and she's wearing a hoodie and dark sunglasses, and the photographers just roughed her up. So I'm hoping things get better for her than not.
Why do people care so much? And I know she's a celebrity and her ex is a celebrity, but why do we care so much who she dates?
I don't understand that either.
Why
I think because he was such a controversial figure And so that, sadly, she is getting some of that radioactive fallout of his bad press after the Sandra Bullock breakup.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I love her, and I'm always excited to have her on the show. But it doesn't matter to me that whether she's married or single or dating or gay or celibate or anything. It just doesn't matter.
Well, if she was gay, it'd be pretty hot.
Well, that would actually
That would be good. Kings of Leon. More speculation regarding the cancellation of their summer tour. As I mentioned earlier in the week, initially they just canceled their Houston, Texas show after the Dallas debacle, where Caleb said he had to leave the stage, throw up, get another beer, and then he'd be back, which he didn't return to the stage. They've canceled the rest of the dates, and now a source is telling Us Weekly magazine that they are urging Caleb to enter rehab because his drinking is out of control. Nathan Followell, the drummer there, said he's bummed about the tour not happening, tweeted, "Sorry for all the fans. We just need some rest. Thanks for understanding. We are not breaking up." So,
oh, man, not again.
Oh, come on. Come on, Caleb.
He sounds like a woman.
He does. His voice really has been affected by all that drinking. He sounds much higher pitch. Ricky Lake. How many times did you say to yourself, "Damn, I miss Ricky Lake's TV talk show. I wish he'd come back with another daytime TV talk show."
No.
Well, your dreams have been answered, my friends.
Jeez.
Not a lot.
The Ricky Lake show is coming back.
Okay.
2012, they tell us. Ricky Lake will be back with her own talk show.
Oh, I'm so happy! This is the best day of my life!
You know, her first talk show ended 7 years ago. She hasn't had that talk show for 7 years, and they're bringing it back now. Why so soon?
She was a, big hit at the time, right?
She had a brief blip of success that was very short-lived.
Because she was shooting younger than a lot of the other shows,
right,
if I recall correctly.
At the time, yeah. So now she said she's back. She's 41. She's divorced. And she plans to take on issues that really matter.
Oh, good.
Oh, jeez. just show us your latest diet tips and do a cooking segment and be done with it, will you? Don't try to tell us what matters.
Let's see our first show about the debt ceiling. That's going to be great.
That's going to be fascinating. We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I believe Luis. No. Nicole is our first winner. Luis is one of the winners, but Nicole was first on the line. Nicole?
Hello.
Hi. What was Chris Martin's degree in when he came out of college?
Ancient World Studies.
Ancient World Studies.
Yeah!
That is a very helpful major.
He is so lucky he became a music superstar, because what the F do you do with an ancient world studies degree?
Oh, same thing you can do with a BA in theater.
Yeah, well, no, at least theater you could teach or something, right? You could like hold some sham acting classes in the back of the free newspapers here in town. But with an ancient world studies, you got to follow Indiana Jones around. That's your only choice.
Or teach the same course in college to somebody else.
Yeah. Anyway, Nicole, congratulations. You're going to go see Coldplay tonight. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details. Also, congratulations to Luis and Christian and Bianca. They're all going to go see Coldplay. Today's celebrity birthday is Tony Bennett. Is 85 years old today. Didn't he do a duet with Chris Martin?
I don't remember. I don't recall that either, but he has done a lot of duets in recent years. And by the way, we throw that number out, 85. How many 85-year-olds look and sound as good as Tony Bennett? It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with none.
Yeah. Well, he never was a very athletic singer.
Right.
He always had a very casual attitude to his singing, very, very sort of mellow and smooth. So
sort of like Zach from Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, it's like that. It's easy to keep that style going for many, many years because it's sort of relaxed. He's 85 years old today. Martin Sheen is 71. Martha Stewart is 70 today. John Landis celebrates his 61st birthday. John C. McGinley, one of our favorite actors, is 52. James Hetfield of Metallica is 48, as is Ed Roland of Collective Soul. Stephen Carpenter from Deftones is 41. Spinderella of Salt and Pepper is 40 years old. And Evangeline Lilly, who played Kate on Lost for all those seasons, she's 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Sorry, I started talking too soon.
106.7
K-Rock.
Key, ow.
It's KROQ. It is 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
Very exciting things happening with that band, Red Hot Chili Peppers, in the weeks to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think if you like the band, you'll be very excited by the news we'll have for you soon. But first, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Whatever with the Showbiz Beat. I've got tickets.
Ah.
That's why the kids tune in.
You are sort of a hoarder that way.
Oh, I love to give stuff away. I love it. People will tune in to sit through my bunk just to get to the tickets. Sadly, I often give the tickets away the first thing, and then so they quickly tune away.
You should save until the end.
I probably should.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'm not giving away tickets. You're going to have to listen to all the showbiz news before I get to the tickets.
There you go.
Ha!
But then we won't have time to get a winner.
I'll teach Gilligan. All right, I'm just going to give them away then. If you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere of 30 Minutes or Less, hilarious comedy, starry Jesse Eisenberg and Aziz Ansari, this from the fertile brain of Ruben Fleischer, the director of Zombieland, comes back at you with 30 Minutes or Less. I've seen much of this film. I was the host of the panel for the film down at the Comic-Con, and we had Nick Swarsden on, and Aziz, and Ruben Fleischer was there. Michael Pena, who's very, very funny in this. Danny McBride, just funny. If you want to go to see the world premiere, the red carpet world premiere with all the stars of the film, it's happening Monday, August the 8th. That's this coming Monday. Don't worry, though, if you don't win the tickets, because it's in theaters everywhere. August 12th, which is Friday. If you'd like to go, I've got three pairs of passes right now to the first three callers who can get through to Chip. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Chip and our intern, Santana, are desperately awaiting your phone calls. She's a good deal, that Santana, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. Boy, does she hate us, though, Ralph.
She doesn't
hate you. Can't get
you
out of this room fast enough.
She doesn't hate me. I know that much. So speak for yourself there.
Well, she hates Kevin and Bean, I'll tell you that, because she's in the room for 15 seconds, and it's like she's on fire. She's in such a hurry to leave.
Which only just reasserts what a smart, put-together, quality woman she is.
I'm not imagining that, right, Kevin? That does happen, right?
That is a sign of strength,
absolutely.
Though.
Absolutely. It just confirms
the right decision.
My opinion of her, which is that she is really got on the ball, because who would in their right mind would spend any more time than they had to with you?
That's the right
decision.
Well,
but she claims to be a Kevin and Bean fan, and she said she was excited to get this internship, yet we can't even get her to talk to us.
A lot of people are Kevin Bean fans until they meet you. Then that all goes away.
It does all
That's
go
possible,
away.
I guess. But she's so hot, and I want her to spend more time in here. I want her to start doing traffic or something. We can't get her.
This is the problem.
You putting your stink all over it? No wonder she runs out.
That's a compliment.
She
I'm saying
me
it's
too,
a compliment.
But I'm in the same room as Bean, so then Bean puts his stink all over the whole room.
Oh, it's not me.
No, it's not you.
I barely talk to her.
He's DJ Taint. That's who he is. He taints everything he touches.
Oh, okay.
It's like putting
that was different.
It's like putting an eyedropper full of cholera in the community water supply.
Yes.
It's just a tiny little bit, but it just pollutes the whole thing. You can't drink it anymore. It's not safe because
I barely speak to her.
DJ,
it's mostly Kevin that she's talking to when she we need to bring her in and have an intervention.
It's like this morning we were talking about Miss Double December, Christine's photographs she's putting up on the Twitter.
Which are great. Right?
Which are amazing. And only Bean could just suck all the goodness and sexiness out of those pictures by talking about them and asking questions about them. What's going on in her mind when she put those pictures up there? Shut up! You're ruining it.
I'm not trying to ruin anything. Look, I enjoy her photos as much, maybe more than the next guy in my
ask
private
creepy
time.
Creepy questions about it.
I'm just saying, what do you suppose she's going for here?
I'd say she photographs well. I say that.
She's going for being a hot chick.
Right, and succeeding until you come along, DJ Taint, and just ruin everything with just all of your you-ness.
Can we have Santana step in and find out who she hates and why?
Would that be possible?
Santana, come on in. Let's send her in.
Hey, Santana,
intern Santana.
That's awesome.
Step in. We'd love to have a conversation if we get a chance.
Santana will come in the morning and be
It's not Satana, by the way, Big Mike. No, you said Satana.
Okay,
like she has horns and a pitchfork.
Yeah, Bean will say, hi, Santana, and the door is already closed.
Yes, like, because she's wise beyond her years.
I agree. I'm with Ralph.
Excellent choice on her part to get the hell out of the way of Bean's stink.
Well, she's certainly taking her time sitting down and putting on her headphones, I'll tell you that.
It's not in a hurry.
Satana, really? That's not even
that
creative.
He said Satana, not us.
Sorry. Really...
That was beer mug.
That was beer mug. Don't blame
that.
That's
not a good one, mug.
All right, listen, we don't have very much time, Santana, but tell us what the problem is. Why do you hate all of us except for Ralph?
Oh, I think Ralph is hilarious.
See?
Can we talk about Ralph more?
Let's talk about me. Me and Santana.
Well, I mean, I love everybody here, and I'm not just saying that because that's cheesy, but, I mean, Bean tends to have a perverted side.
What?
Really?
What have I done? What have I said?
Like the time you tweeted at me.
Oh, what did he tweet you?
No. I tweeted, like, about to eat three popsicles to beat the heat.
Right.
Hashtag no shame. Like, I didn't even think it was being sexual, but of course
wasn't.
He tweets me back being like, hope there's video footage of that. I want to see it.
Oh.
no wonder. No. It's the tweet world.
Tell me you wouldn't have said the same thing if you pictured Santana eating popsicles to beat the Heat.
Bean,
that's a good deal.
Bean, listen to me. We all think it. We all don't say it because it's creepy.
So my crime is being too honest. That's the problem
no,
I have.
No, your crime's
here.
Being creepy and perverted.
You're creepy.
You're the weird old uncle who the parents won't let babysit.
Now, let's clarify because this is very important to me. Am I the same as Bean or am I separate?
No,
from...
you guys okay. are a little different.
Okay, so mm-hmm. if it was just me, you wouldn't mind being in here as much.
Yeah, where's the cricket audio?
Does Kevin gross you out too?
No, he doesn't gross me out.
No. What does he do?
He does several things to offend me, but I wouldn't say that he grosses me out.
Well, join the club.
This is the greatest break ever.
So last question, Santana, then we'll let you go back to whatever it is you were doing. When you come in, your mission is to leave the studio as quickly as possible. Like, you want as little hang time as possible, right, when you come in.
Yeah, I got to beat traffic.
No, I mean when you come into the studio to do something for your job.
When you walk in from the hallway, obviously. I think they're saying.
You can't wait to leave.
Quick, I got
to
get stuff done.
Yes.
Like, I wouldn't be a good intern if I wasn't quick at my
right.
job.
She's efficient is what
Have
she is.
Have you not
is.
Said I do the fastest food runs, Kevin?
You do, by far. Yeah.
No, you do.
By
but
far.
I can't get over how much you hate us, though.
Well,
it just amazes me.
Get used to it.
Constantly smile, would that make you feel better?
Well, no, we're not asking
once.
You to fake it. I don't
yes,
want you,
you
to
are.
Fake
That's
it.
Exactly what this you're asking.
No, I want her to not hate us. That's what I want. I want her to come in and enjoy being part of the Kevin and Bean family.
All you have to do is change everything that you are, and then she
That's
won't hate
it.
You anymore.
It's not that hard. Next time you tweet at me, I'll tweet something very nice back, and I
All right,
won't
I'm not going to. I'm not going to tweet at you anymore. I'm not even going to follow you anymore on Twitter.
Good. Don't. Yeah. That's where part of the problem is.
In fact, you're dead to me. I don't even like you.
That's the first step.
That's great. If you don't like her now, now everyone's fine.
Who knew that Bean was even, like, skeeving on the interns by following him on Twitter
and
stuff?
I don't skeeve.
Yeah, I wish I had video of that. I'm Buzz.
There's video coverage of that. Where else are you putting the popsicle? Hashtag disgusting pervert.
No wonder.
I thought that was a very legitimate tweet, but I apologize if it offended. It was not my intention, but where the hell's my video?
It's not that it offended. It's that it's creepy. She's not easily offended.
And I almost tweeted you back being like, you know what? Like, I wouldn't even send you a video anyway, like you wish. But I thought I was being nice by not replying, so.
I appreciate you not replying. In my defense, though, and I apologize for sending out the tweet if it skeeved you, I didn't mean that at all. I thought, here's Santana, who's a big fan, admittedly a big fan of the Kevin and Bean Show. Obviously, she enjoys that kind of humor. She has heard it on our show for years. It's not gonna offend her because she's got the same kind of sense of humor we do.
So would you like to watch a movie with me with your hand down my pants?
I didn't say
that's the next tweet Bean sense.
That wasn't my point at all.
We should have Chris Hansen reads Bean tweets. That's what we should have the next segment.
Okay, fantastic. We'll do that tomorrow.
All right, sounds great.
All right, thank you, Santana.
Thank you, Santana, for stopping by, and I apologize.
I'm warning for you.
Okay.
I apologize on behalf of my coworkers.
Hey, I'd like to picture you eating those popsicles.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
Imagine being a poor intern. You come in here, we ask so much of you, we pay you nothing, we make you do demeaning, laborious tasks like running and getting our food and coffee and stuff, and then you have to be at home and then you have to read Bean's tweets to you on top of it. How horrible that must be.
I thought it was funny.
Oh, here's the problem, though, Bean. Honestly, any of the rest of us could have tweeted that and it would have been funny. You have a creepy factor.
I don't, though. You guys
do.
Are making,
you may not
up,
be aware
you're making
of it.
It up.
You may not be aware of it, but there's a creepy factor inside of you somewhere.
I think I would like to shower with you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was sad and depressing, and I'm sorry we all had to go through that. I'm not even going to talk to her anymore. She's dead to me.
Oh, you just made her day. Hey, how do I get in?
Well,
that
if you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
Yeah, that's the next tweet.
Wow.
All right, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ruth.
Miley Cyrus has announced she's working on a new movie. Our prayers have been answered. Finally, she's going to be back on the big screen where she belongs. Sadly, it's not a snuff film. It is a film that she will also co-produce, she said. It's a comedy that has something to do with a broken promise to God.
Oh, dear, no.
That does sound funny.
You like doggy?
Miley will star in the movie and co-produce with her mother, Tish.
Oh, dear God.
This just gets better and better. Is the broken promise to God that you would actually have some talent before you performed? Was that the talent? It was the promise you broke, Miley?
Did you bring condoms with you?
Listen, Chris, wait till tomorrow.
Chris Hansen reads Bean's tweets.
Wait till tomorrow.
Great movie news. Lawrence Fishburne has been tapped to play the tough, gritty Daily Planet editor Perry White in the upcoming Superman movie, Man of Steel. You know, it's going to be soon that when they make Superman movies, they won't be able to have him work in a newspaper anymore. That will no longer be an option.
Newspapers won't exist.
They barely exist now. So
he'll be working at HuffingtonPost.com in his next Superman movie.
The Daily Planet.
You know, if you had me naked, I'd want more, right?
Oh, stop it, Bean. Henry Cavill still starring as Superman, Amy Adams as Lois Lane. They are filming currently in Chicago and Vancouver, and then the movie will be out mid-2013.
So. Well, if I show up and you're already naked waiting for me on your bed, then it might be hard to be just a friend.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
She's asking for it.
Give me the video feed of that.
Come on, that wasn't that out of line.
I'm bad.
It wasn't.
From anyone else.
God. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Tony Bennett is 85 years old today. Oddly enough, his hair is only 7.
Odd.
I don't know how that works out.
Is that a yes?
Martin Sheen is 71 years old. Martha Stewart turned 70. John Landis, the movie director who gave us such classics as Animal House and Werewolf in London. American Werewolf in London, love that movie. He is 61 years old. John C. McGinley, 52. James Hetfield of Metallica is 48. Ed Roland of Collective Soul also turns 38 today. Stephen Carpenter, guitarist for Deftones, is 41. Spinderella of Salt-N-Pepa is 40. And Evangeline Lilly celebrates her 32nd birthday today. She, of course, from Lost. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Thursday morning, we have an all-new program, including Kat Von D in our studios.
I had some video of her being in your studio.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Buzz. I'm Bean.
We have Dr. Drew on tomorrow's program, as we do every Thursday. We have Mike Tyson on tomorrow's show.
Dave's friend?
What happened?
Yes. Mike Tyson.
Oh, I know some people won't let him on our show.
On the show
they're going to cut that segment right out of our show. That's what's going to happen.
They're going to try.
There's someone here at this stage who will cut that segment
That's
right
correct.
Out of our show.
And speaking of fighters from UFC 133, we have Tito Ortiz.
Wow.
Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and B.